Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Petzo today. As always, we'd love phone calls, 580-KIDO, 580-5436, or you can email me at jstone@petzofinancial.net. So as always, I am a certified financial planner. We've been working with Dave for now over, goodness, pushing 30 years. Tom Brown will be joining at the top of the hour, and we're going to talk about market spring cleaning and just getting started on making sure everything's in order. We have some stories to share of interesting situations just to remind people how important it is to get things in good order. But before we do that, I actually have a special guest with me today, one of my favorite businesses, I guess, nonprofit organizations that's focusing on education. You know how important that is to all of us at Petzo Financial, especially early childhood education. We just aren't great at that in this state. We're near the end of the nation, and we really need to improve on this. So something that formed, I believe it was in 2017, is the Children's Museum of Idaho. So today we have the program director with us, Erin Brown, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about what they focus on, things that they do to help educate, because we know how important STEM is, how important it is to get kids learning at a very young age, which surprised me. I had no idea you could start STEM education at such a young age, but they even do it under two. But first, tell us what the museum is really focused on, Erin.
Well, good morning. So I'm Erin. I'm the program director at the Children's Museum of Idaho. So we are geared for kiddos about 2 to 8, and we have kids come on both ends of that. And we are very focused on child, adult, because it's not always their parents, coming in and exploring, using their imaginations. We do have a lot of STEM activities and building, and they can pretend to be a pilot or a vet, or we have a lot of Idaho-based exhibits where it's just learning about our community and our agricultures that we have. And yeah, if you haven't been in, I would encourage you to go to our website. It's CMI Idaho, CM Idaho. And just look, we have some videos on there because we don't have a children's museum here. And so a lot of people just don't know what it is. They think it's the classic museum and you can't touch anything. Well, we encourage everybody to touch everything.
So yeah, it was interesting when I first started it, or got involved a little bit with this. I had no idea what a children's museum actually was. I assume, like you're saying, that you go in and you look at exhibits of dinosaurs and you walk around and you're not allowed, like you say, don't touch anything. Mm-hmm. But the ability to learn by touching is so important. They watch chicks hatch from eggs. It's just amazing to go in there and really look at it and how important it is. Even simple things like building pizzas and doing things that teach you how to put pieces together and what that does to develop the child's mind. And like you said, engaging the parents to help do this.
Yeah, because a parent or their grown-up, whoever they're with, that's their first teacher. That's their most important person in their life at that time. They're with them all the time. And so, we always have some kind of activity going on. We do early STEM, and it actually starts from 6 months to 2 years old is our youngest. And then we have an older time for the three-year-olds and up. We have stories and projects. We have guest speakers come in. We have one of my favorite activities. It's called Let's Get Messy. It's Wednesday mornings from 10 to 11. And it's just different tactile things because we are finding a lot of kiddos aren't used to touching different sensory items. And this helps them get used to it. And it's fun, so they don't have those sensory issues.
So STEM's talked about all the time. What exactly is that, and what is the focus of STEM?
So STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. And people think it's this huge, scary thing. It is not. It's like patterns. If you look around, science is everywhere. Patterns is everywhere. I mean, now technology is everywhere. But engineering, people are like, engineering? But if you have some popsicle sticks and you build something, that's engineering. That's math. You have to use math that, but it's not the traditional worksheet math. So it's just a different way of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important, too, because we are pretty low on the scale nationwide of how our early childhood education is. I think I looked up that we were, what, 66% of the kids have no education before they go into kindergarten.
Right. And so that is very important and dear to my heart because I used to teach preschool. And it's just, you know, a parent doesn't have to necessarily sign a kid up for preschool, but you need to expose them to different things, reading to them, building to them, playing with them. I mean, you can learn so many things just going out on a hike. And so you have those kiddos that start in kindergarten that just don't have that experience, so they're already starting behind. And it takes so much just to try to get caught up, and then, you know, it gets harder as you get older.
One of my favorite programs, because we have a lot more resources in the Treasure Valley, of course, than we do in the smaller communities. Mm-hmm. So you developed a program where you actually take the museum with you and go to these small communities so that people that don't have that opportunity actually can and be involved as well.
Yeah, so we started a program. Pat Baker and I started a program. It's called Museum on the Move. So right now we load up my pickup and I go out to rural communities. Yesterday I was in Weezer and I just take like different activities that we have in the museum on a smaller scale. And yesterday I just sat up at the library and it was a huge community event. And it's amazing because a lot of those kids have never seen what we have. And, you know, we'll take little coding robots, just blocks, magnets, marble runs, things like that. And yesterday in Weezer, we probably had 120 people come to the library just to see it. And they get so excited. And, you know, a lot of these people can't come over to the museum. So I did have a mom tell me yesterday, thank you for coming, because she'd never be able to bring her kids over just to Meridian and see it. So it's wonderful. We go out all over and we're trying to buy a van. So we are looking for sponsors if anybody wants to sponsor us, and donations, because we are a nonprofit. So we depend on sponsors and fundraisings and grants to take this program out. But I love it. It's amazing. I love the parents' reactions. I love the kids' reactions. It's wonderful.
So if you walk into the museum, and if you haven't been there, call and see if you can even just get a tour if you don't have little people to bring. But when you walk in, it's an amazing experience. You see a great big fish tank, and then you have an airplane, like the front end of an airplane, and Trader Joe's in the back. And you walk in further and there's a pirate ship and caves and all these things you can explore. This is something that's very amazing. It's not like you just walk in and there's piles of blocks in one corner. They've spent a lot of time putting in different exhibits. The one that they just had that I think is amazing, they have little scarves that get sucked into tubes and all these things that you don't think about what it does to a child's mind to watch this. As adults, if we're impressed by it, can you imagine little people, what they think of this? So there's some really cool things. So look it up, send them an email, see if you can even just go get a tour and just check out what they've got going on. There's a couple other programs that I think that we would really like to share with you. One that's coming up next weekend.
Yeah, it's next Saturday. It's our health and fitness fair. It's the 11th. It'll be 10 to 1. So we are going to have different vendors come out, and it's actually a health screening. So we'll have different places. It's geared towards kiddos 3 and 6. They can come and get screenings from hearing and sight and speech and motor skills, because if you think your kid might be having a little trouble, or if you're just not sure, you can come out and, like, St. Luke's is doing it, the Meridian Lions, the Idaho Pediatric Therapy Clinic, and they can go and they can just put your kid through a little screening, and then, you know, they can say, yep, they're great, they're right on target, or they could say, oh, you know, you might want to watch for this. And then all the kids that, excuse me, come in and go through the screening, they'll get a free ticket into the museum. But there's giveaways, and there's going to be, like, little nutritional treats and stuff like that. It's really fun. It's going to be out in our parking lot. And like I said, it's 10 to 1, and we just invite the community to come. We love doing community events.
Which we never did say where you're located. So let's do that. Then we'll take a break and we'll come back on a couple other things. Okay. So where are you located?
So we are located right off the Meridian exit, right by Winco and Home Depot. You'll see those. So it's 790 South Progress Avenue in Meridian, just right off the exit.
Perfect. All right. When we come back, I wanted to have her share a couple other special programs for maybe low sensory and this, when they bring in the therapy, just some really cool things they also do. All right. We'll take a quick break and we come back. We'll continue talking to the Children's Museum, Erin Brown, the program director. But if you'd like to ask her questions, I'm sure she'd love to answer those as well. 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone filling in for Dave Petzo this morning. Tom Brown will be joining me at the top of the hour. We're going to talk about all things money at that point. But right now, I did want to spend a little bit of time talking about one of my favorite places in Meridian, and that's the Children's Museum of Idaho. You know how important education is to all of us. We talk about it all the time and how if we could just get kids more comfortable with money and finance and everything as they go, then they'll be more comfortable when they become investors. So we feel also this starts at a very young age. So if we can get those early childhood education started, that means pre-kindergarten, it's so important. That's why I love the Children's Museum of Idaho. This morning, Erin Brown is with me. She's the program director. If you have questions, please wait for us on the financial side if you have those. But if you'd like to ask her questions about the museum, I'm sure she's open to take those. It's 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Another program that I think is really interesting is we all know there's some kids with some special needs and they may need a different type of environment because you have a lot of kids in an open space. It gets a little noisy, a little chaotic. So I believe you offer a program for low sensory as well.
Yes, we do. So if anybody is interested in that, you could just call the museum and our number is 208-345-1920. And so we have had groups that will come in. It's usually on a Sunday, like around noon or so. We can, you know, we can see what fits you best, but it's usually for an hour and we will, because we have different noise things, like we have bells in Trader Joe's, but we will put something around the bell so it's dampened. We don't turn on all the lights. And, you know, some kids do need a little bit of a softer environment. And so we will do that for them. And we love it. And they can run around and they get to experience things that everybody else can experience, but just in a little bit of a softer environment.
Good. Also, therapy dogs, they come in how often?
So they come in twice a month. They'll come in the second Thursday from 1 to 2 and the fourth Wednesday from 11:30 to 12:30. And so it's a wonderful group. It's called Go Team Idaho. And they, you know, they go to the VA, they go to BSU, they go to different schools, assisted livings, and they come in and they see us, and you know, some kids will read to them, or some kiddos that maybe are a little, they don't know about dogs, they might be a little uncertain. These dogs just lay. They just lay on the floor, and the kids can come pet them, or, you know, somebody might be having a hard day. We've had people come in, they're just having a hard day just because of life, and they'll just sit and pet the dog and then they start smiling and they'll start talking to the handlers and you know their day ends up to be great. Mm-hmm. So they're a wonderful group. We love them.
Good. And another program that I know is one of your favorite too is Touch a Truck.
Oh, I love Touch a Truck. So Touch a Truck is June 18th and it is from 10 to noon. So we have the big trucks come and we have big, huge semis that come. ISB is going to bring a car and a motorcycle and a command center. As long as they're not called out on anything, they'll be coming. We have graders and the big street sweepers. And that is a free parking lot event. It's just regular admission into the museum. But Western States, the Caterpillar place, and some kind of big construction, and the kids can get in them and touch them and honk the horns, and it's a great, great event.
So you can see why we're so passionate about this place as well, right? These are some things that are going on in the community that you probably hadn't even heard about. We try to get the word out also because we do a little sponsorship. One of our favorite exhibits, of course, is Penny the Cow. You can go in and actually milk her.
Yes.
Not a real cow, though. Got to say that.
No, no. I mean, sometimes we'll have a calf come by and join us. Yes, but Penny, you can actually milk it. And we hatch chicks every 21 days. And, you know, I grew up on a farm, so this is, you know, very normal to me how I grew up. But some people have never milked a cow before, and it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And they giggle and they laugh and they're just amazed, and I love it. And then there's always those education moments that I'm like, no, that's not a boy cow, that's a girl cow. And I just wanted to say one thing I had forgotten before is our health and fitness fair. That is a free parking lot event also, so good, people good. Can come and get their kiddos screened and have a good time.
Good. And the screening is so important, right? Just to make sure kids are there, they check their teeth, they're checking everything, correct?
Right. And they're hearing, because, you know, we're with our kids all the time, we might not notice.
Right.
So, and then it's also, so, you know, it's promoting getting unplugged. So there'll be people there that you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that organization existed.
Mm-hmm. And getting your hands on things and not having so much screen time. That's one of the things that they really, really encourage. If you go to the museum, put the phone away. Of course, you want to take pictures. That's great. Yeah. But put the phone away and engage. There's you can play dress up in the little
on a stage. I have seen some amazing performances. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of talent around here. And I love when the parents play. I mean, they think they're just playing, mm-hmm. but they're teaching them. They're having those experiences with their kids.
Yeah, and you can't get those back.
No, it goes way too fast.
It does. And there's also classroom activities, too. I know Erin does a lot of reading, and she does different activities in her room. So they actually do allow birthday parties and other things there, too. But it is all focused on education. Sometimes you think it's all about fun, but fun is also educational.
Absolutely.
So check them out. Children's Museum of Idaho, cmidaho.org. And phone number?
208-345-1920.
Okay. 790 South Progress. It's right back tucked away by Winco in that area if you want to go check them out. Coming back, we're talk all finance. Give us a call then, 580-KIDO, 580-5436, or you can email me, jstone@petsofinancial.net. Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petso so he can have a nice long weekend. As always, you can call us at 580-KIDO, 580-5436, jstone@petsofinancial, if you'd like to shoot over an email. We'll read those when we can as well. Always, Tom and I have worked together for now pushing 16 years. Am I ever right on this?
I don't know. Let's see.
Something like that.
17 years.
17 years. Wow.
In July.
Wow. Yeah. So we've worked together for a very long time. We are certified financial planners, which just basically means we try to cover all aspects of the financial planning world. So a couple things that I wanted to talk about, which is interesting to me, because we always say how the media always spins things negatively. So I was doing a little looking at what happened in the market this week, because, you know, based on what we hear, it was terrible. So I pulled a quote off of a major news company, CNBC. And they said Dow falls, this is the closing of the day, Dow falls 300 points. NASDAQ drops 2% as major indices notch weekly losses. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you would think that the market was terrible last week.
Yep.
Was flat. Yep. Did absolutely nothing. And I checked all of the indices. And if you put in last Friday, because it was so good, so just add one more day, one more market day, because of course we were closed for Memorial Day on Monday, it was positive. So it's so funny how a flat market, and that's what the headline should mm-hmm. say, market's flat. Yep. Boring, nothing happened.
Yep.
But it doesn't do that.
Or it say, or it could say flat this week, which is great compared to a few weeks later ago when it was down. And but they mm-hmm. always want to have that. I always like how you know, they have those really dramatic words, you know, down 250 points on the open, you know, dramatic drop, you know, and yep. just like, you know, that isn't that dramatic.
No. And the Yahoo Finance people, the mm-hmm. faces that they have, and they sometimes don't switch the pictures as quickly as the market switches. Mm-hmm. So they've got this complete look of panic on their face. So when you pull up Yahoo Finance, it's like, oh, it's done.
Yeah. And I think those library pictures are very old because the people that are in them probably don't. aren't even working anymore.
Right. And if you were just a very disciplined investor and say, you know, the only time I look at my account is once a month when I get my paper statement. I don't log on to anything. I don't look at anything online. I just wait for that paper statement and just look month to month. If you would have looked at your April statement and you would have looked at your May statement, the two that just came out most recently, again, the month was flat. Although there were swings all over the place, and I'm just talking about the S&P because, you know, I think that's the best one to measure on. We were actually up 4% at one point from the opening of the month. Then we dropped and lost all of that and was down 9%, and then we ended up flat. So if you don't pay attention to the day-to-day movement, it's such a comfortable thing.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that is a dramatic recovery, mm-hmm. you know, being down and going back to flat. That mm-hmm. just really shows you how quick it can turn. In a short period of time, just like it can go down quickly, it can recover quickly. And that's why, you know, we always say, you know, when you're reacting to those downs, get ready, because there's going to be probably a recovery up really quickly within mm-hmm. a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you miss the 10 best trading days, and I know we say this all the time as well, but if you miss the 10 best trading days over a 20-year period, your return can actually be cut in half. But the biggest point on that is the good days always happen within a few weeks of the bad days. So how do you plan for that? It's a crazy thing to try to time this, and there really are no market timing people in the Hall of Fame. There's just no Hall of Fame for market timers. There's just not.
Yep, right. And you have all the famous investors saying, you can't do this, don't try to do it, no one can do it, and people continue to figure out a way of talking themselves into that they can.
Mm-hmm. During these times, and one of the YouTubes Dave just did last week for our clients was Wisdom of Great Investors Part 2. The reason we do that is we like to go back and see what really great investors say. We pull their quotes, we read them, we really think about them and digest what they're talking about, because you really do look through this and you say, there's nowhere you'll ever find anyone that says you can do this right. Everyone says the exact opposite. You cannot ever market time, but I'm going to do it this time. No one ever does that. Never works. So some of these I was looking at just this morning, just because it's fun. 224 of 237 market timing newsletters went out of business. When you think about that, that really tells you it doesn't work.
Right. It's always funny when people say they read something online or they bought something and you find out, you know, yeah, I read a thing that said that's we're on the verge of a big market collapse or a crash. It always mm-hmm. has to be a crash. Mm-hmm. And then you find out, you go, so how much were they when you pay for the newsletter at the end? Oh, well, it's only, you know, $75, you know, but, you know, it's really good. This guy called it, you know, in 2008. He's the one that called the, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you go, yeah, right.
Right, right, uh-huh. right. Because he's right, like you say, like a stopped watch, right?
Right.
Once in a while, you'll
yep.
get it right.
Yeah, you keep saying the same thing over and over and over. Once every 20 years, you might hit it.
Yep, exactly. All right, well, let's jump to the phones real quick. Jim?
Morning again, Jay
Hello.
Stone and Tom. How's it going?
Good, good. Thanks for calling back.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm all for kiddos and museums, but, you know.
Yep, yep. We every once in a while, we just love to really promote a small business or something that's doing amazing things in the community. So that's one of our favorites.
You know, when she mentioned taking the mini museum to Weezer, kind of felt sorry for them, you know. People out in the, no offense to Weezer, boondocks, and, you know, can't get to the big time or whatever, and they miss a lot and all that, and that, especially today with gas prices and all that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the one thing I would say is with these markets is most of it, I think, is momentum. You know, there's a certain momentum. If the momentum is up, then everything that happens is taken positively. Somebody says something, it's positive, whatever. Same thing with when things are down. All of a sudden, whether somebody that supposedly knows something says something positive or negative, is taken as negative. So anyway, it's just momentum one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we always, and you know how humans are anyways, you always tag on to what's negative and run with that. And it's amazing to watch cash flows into funds and investments and how it doesn't matter how many people walk in the door and say, I want to buy low and sell high. The data and the proof is they don't really want to do that. They want to say they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, and everything's in perspective anyway. I mean, you know, the one day God may push the delete button and an asteroid may hit the Earth And then we'll say, damn, you know, tomorrow I'm sure the stock market was going to be up. Anyway, just my call in and hang in there. And I'm too lazy to sell anyway. You know, I'll tell you an interesting story. You know, like I told Dave, one of my theories on investing is name. And so I bought this thing called Clovis Oncology. You know, I'm from Clovis, New Mexico. So I bought Clovis Oncology. 50 shares is about $60.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it, over a period of years, it goes down to $1.85. So yeah, no, maybe something like that. Well, anyway, I sold and took a tremendous loss. So then I bought another 1,000 shares or something like at $1.85. You know, now it's down to 65 cents. So maybe my theory isn't all that great.
But it was a nice thought.
Yeah, well, you know, if you've got money and you don't care about it that much, you know, and I don't do a lot of stupid things like that, but, I mean, you can play with it and whatever, you know. So. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good, good. Well, thanks for calling, Jim. It's always good.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Take care. All right. And what we really wanted to cover a little bit today, too, though, was spring cleaning. I know it's a little bit later than we normally do it, but we do feel that it's super important to try to get things in order as we head into different times of the year. We do it first of the year. Then if you didn't get it all done, then maybe you push it to this time of year. Mm-hmm. But one thing that we hit us really hard is how important it is to make sure beneficiaries are up to date, to make sure you know where all your assets are. So if something, and if you have a trust, make sure it's funded. There's all these things that go into making sure you're in good shape financially. And we saw a couple of them recently where people had assets scattered in numerous different places under different registrations. And then one of the spouses passes away. It leaves quite a burden on someone to try to figure out how to do everything. Plus, it doesn't really fall in line with a good estate plan. So if something were to happen and you have a trust, every asset that possibly can should be in that trust. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you should make sure your beneficiaries are up to date and they're who you want them to be. Recently, we had a couple pass really closely within a couple weeks of each other.
Yeah, a husband and wife.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they weren't able to take the time to get their beneficiaries updated. So then it doesn't get to go exactly how they want. It passes by what they say, a plan document. Anyways, that's how it is with our company. So since the spouse passed, it goes to surviving children. It doesn't matter if there's not a relationship, there's something that you don't potentially want, it goes, yes, it doesn't matter, or one of them's deceased, and it takes a lot to prove this. So take the time, if you work with a financial advisor, contact them and say, we want to make sure our beneficiaries are up to date. Right. Put contingent beneficiaries.
Make sure you put the contingent beneficiaries up.
It's super important, because if something happens to your spouse, it defaults to who you want it to go
to. And I'm working with someone right now that their spouse just passed away and they have no family. I mean, she said her brother's like 89 years old and she's 72.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't want to, you know, put him on as beneficiary or think it's worthwhile. So she's going to, so I'm trying to get her to put somebody on because she's got to replace her deceased husband. Because I said, you can just put charities.
Mm-hmm.
If you have charities, and she goes, well, it's in my will. But relying on your will for what like your IRA goes to, isn't a good plan because it won't do it.
Right. No.
It won't work.
No. Beneficiaries are override what you have in your will. So if you have nothing named as a beneficiary on your IRA, it goes by the plan document of the company. If you put estate, then it's liquidated and paid out by your will. So you really want to name who you want that to go to on it. And again, we're not attorneys. We're just telling you the basics. Make sure you name beneficiaries.
Right. And because if it does go through and end up going through the estate, it could take a year or more.
And tax.
It finally gets done. And yeah, and you end up paying, there's a bunch of taxes. So yeah, it's an easy thing. It takes a few minutes to double check them. Easy thing to fill out the forms to update them. But do that, especially in divorce situations too.
Yeah.
We see that all the time where someone forgets to, and they put their ex or leave their ex as the beneficiary. And that can, especially in a, if there's a remarriage,
yes.
could be contentious situation.
Yes, absolutely. So before we take a break, I just wanted to share a real quick email from a caller. They said to thank Erin for her passion. It's infectious. She was with the Children's Museum. It was on just recently with us. And there's nothing better to invest in than our children and our community. Give us a call, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Good morning and welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petso this morning. Please give us a call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Talking a little spring cleaning, getting your financial affairs in order, just to be sure that you do the best you can for you and for your survivors. But before we continue, let's go ahead and jump to the phones. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I've been reading some stuff lately about modern monetary theory and ESG ratings. Are those anything we should like be concerned about or anything?
I don't think so. I think these things come out when people are trying to do what we say, trying to time market, find sectors that are doing well. ESG is basically environmental social governance. It's how they run companies to meet certain criteria. They've become, right. They were talked about continually for a while. But how I kind of look at this, and again, I'm all for being as green as we possibly can be. But when you look at companies now, because of regulations, because of caring for the earth, most of them are becoming more and more green anyways. Mm-hmm. So I've done some research on non-socially responsible funds that aren't even focused on ESG, and their ratings are pretty good. So I think it depends more on diversifying your account and not getting caught up in these catchwords of the day, right? And just find what works for you that meets your goal.
Right. Good. Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Have a great weekend.
You.
All right. So again, love phone calls. So please call. I'm also send me an email if you'd like, jstone@petsofinancial.net. So as we go through and we look through special things that we think are super important to make sure you get right on your accounts, beneficiaries was the first thing that we just talked about. And then also, when's the last time you looked at your 401k or your employer plan through work or even checked what benefits you have available to you?
Right. I just had somebody come in the other day, and if you know anything about target date funds, but she was in a target date fund, and it was the target date was 2020. And someone had helped her with that probably years ago, and she probably said she was conservative. Well, she's really conservative now because a 2020 fund is probably going to be sitting all in bonds. And she said, I don't understand. I thought I was invested, but I don't understand why I'm not making money. I thought this was conservative, but I'm losing money. And people just don't understand that what those things mean. So a target date funds can be helpful, but make sure you're understanding what they really mean and not just, hey, I'm going to just be in this because I'm quote-unquote conservative and I'm going to pick the closest date because that doesn't help.
And what a target date fund is, just because, again, when you're reading through that, what that means is she plans to retire in 2020. That's what that target date means. So as you get closer to those dates, they get more conservative internally. So what Tom's saying is if she put that in 10 years ago, they may have thought been a 50-50 mix or even a 60-40, depending on the plan. But as she got closer to 2020, and now since we're past 2020, it's gotten more and more conservative. So lifestyle target date funds sometimes make sense. You'll also see them targeting dates like 19, whatever year you were born. There are different ways to pull those out. But when you see those, make sure you look internally at what they are. Not saying they're good or bad, but just know what you're investing in. And if you are younger, even if you don't think you're going to retire in 2065, that will just get you more stock.
Yep.
Okay. And also look at it to see what plans you have. We also hear people all the time say, well, my company doesn't match, so I don't want to invest. That's not a reason not to put money away. A match is just gravy, and it's great if they do, but you still have to save for yourself.
Yeah. And also find out if it has a Roth option, and you can put money into Roth, because through the plan, you can put money into a Roth and it doesn't matter what your income is. While in outside, if you want to contribute to a Roth, there are income limitations. So Roth options through your company 401k is an excellent opportunity if you have it available.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't been contributing, you're used to paying tax on those dollars because, of course, Roth money is after tax. So it won't reduce. It's different. Pre-tax money, you'll see it not affect your paycheck as much because you're putting it away before it's taxed. After tax is just putting that money into a Roth. And if you qualify, you should put it into a Roth on the outside as well. The more Roth money you can have, the better.
Right.
You have a pile of after-tax dollars that are never taxed again. There's nothing more magical than that.
Yep. It is it's amazing that Congress, way back in 1997, way back.
Boy, you're old,
actually,
Tom.
I know.
Way back.
but that actually approved it that they were going to allow you to have this type of account. And so it's an amazing thing to take advantage of, and everybody should when they can.
Yes, absolutely. And just go through everything and ask your, maybe call your HR department or whoever you work for, and just see, I really want to know what benefits I have available. The state has a lot that sometimes maybe they are underutilized. Other companies do also. But when you're eligible, you should start contributing to something, because you can't get the time back. That's the most important thing. As soon as you're eligible to contribute to anything, start putting some money away.
Yep. And then have a plan to increase that when you can.
Yes. And if you haven't increased it for a while, do so. If you can get away, get close to 10-15% going into retirement, that will make it a lot more comfortable when you get there. Mm-hmm. And if you're behind, those numbers can always be higher, of course. Yep. Good. Also, what if you're planning for college? I mean, that's kind of a hot button these days with all of the costs going up all the time. Student loans are expensive. It's kind of one of those strange times in college planning. But if you haven't set any money aside and you have a little one, it's still a good idea. Look at 529 plans. Put away a little bit, because you are going to be responsible for something more than likely.
Right. And I think the, you know, everybody can go because every state has at least one 529 plan available. You can invest in any state's plan. So if you don't want to take advantage of the Idaho plan, where you get a tax deduction, or on the state tax deduction, you can use another state plan, and you're not, it doesn't dictate that you have to go to school in those states or anything like that. It just gives you the freedom to invest where you want to. We think the Idaho plan is a fine plan, and I used it for my kids, and we recommend it to most of our clients, because you do get if you are a state of Idaho resident, you can get a tax deduction on the state for your contributions.
Yeah. Yep. And that's a good reason, too. You get a little bit of a kick just to even get started by doing it through the state.
Exactly.
Yep. Good. Good. And if you haven't met with a financial advisor and that's something that you want to help set goals, maybe this is the time to find someone that you want to work with. And they are so good about helping you set priorities, figure out what you really want to invest in. And, you know, we have a couple questions that we feel that advisors should ask you. So maybe we'll go into that here in a little bit. But we do want to do a little more housekeeping. Look at old stock certificates. I know people don't think that they're around anymore, but I just had a lady come in, and it was in her deceased husband's name. It had re-registered it to, I think it had split, so she had half with the custodian holding the funds, half in certificate form. And it was just kind of crazy, because they made her send that certificate back. They're sending her another one that she has to send back. So it gets very, very complicated. If you have stock certificates, just deposit them with a custodian. You can do it yourself. There's no cost to even hold them there. But if something happens to you, if your beneficiaries are up to date and everything's in good order, it's a simple transition to the heirs.
And if you don't have them, check with your parents and grandparents and see if they have them. Mm-hmm. Because notoriously back then, like in the 60s and so forth, people got all their certificates, they put them in a safe deposit box, and they're still sitting there. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that can be really problematic when someone passes.
Yeah. And as our parents age, and they all are, you should know and sit down. And if they don't want to share everything, that's fine. And you should do this with your kids as well. Sit down, write them a love letter. That's one of the ways that tells you where everything is. If they do have a safety deposit box, if you have a safety deposit box, let them know where it is, because it's not safe if no one can find it. So have that meeting, get a family meeting together. You don't have to share your financials, but at least let them know where they need to go. We have some people just write a little note, call Petso Financial. If something happens to me, call them. That's fine. But also let them know where your accounts are, just in case you change relationships and you don't change your love letter.
Right. And, you know, God forbid you have some sort of situation where Alzheimer's or dementia or something, and you forget where they're at, then that could be a real, like, they could be forgotten forever.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of custodians now allow you to have a trusted contact on your account, so that if we need to get in touch or we're concerned, they can have that name down and we know who to contact. And so does a custodian. If they need to get in touch with someone, if you're not able to do things on your own at that time, it's not a power of attorney, it's just a trusted contact. So make sure those things are in place as well. Good. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a few things about what questions they should ask you to get you thinking when you go in to meet with someone. Phone number is 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning. Phone number is 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Email jstone@pezzofinancial.net. Talking a little bit about getting your beneficiaries, getting your finances in order, doing a little financial spring cleaning, as we like to call it. And if you've gotten to the point now that you feel that you've done all that you can do and you want a third party or someone uninvolved to look everything over and make suggestions or recommendations, that's kind of when you lean into going and visiting with a financial advisor. That's what we do, and there are several great ones in the town that do this as well. We don't sell products. First of all, want to make that very clear. It's not a product thing. We do financial planning. We also invest money if you want to lean towards that. There's fees for different ways of doing things, but it should be very, very, very transparent for you. So first thing we ask when someone walks in our door is, what made you today make the decision to come see us?
Yeah. Usually it's because they've been putting off doing things and they just don't know where to start, you know, and they just want to, I know that I need some help, but I don't even know what I need, you know, what I want to do.
Where to even begin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times, too, because there's a lot of resources online, you say, I've got my budgeting down. I'm out of debt other than my home. And we see a lot of people that are kind of in this position and they're funding different investments, built up some cash, or they haven't. And they're just trying to figure out ways to do so. The next priority would be what in our eyes? A lot of times we go back to them and we say, well, we can't prioritize your life. Is it education for your kids? Are you wanting to buy a home? What is your first goal? We always lean towards you have to start retirement planning day one because you can't get that time back. Everything else we can back into to say, what's your next priority?
Mm-hmm. No, I would say for sure. And like you said, time for investing, time is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we can have mediocre investments, and pick mediocre investments. But if you have time and diligence about investing, you can be very successful. Mm-hmm. But if you wait too long to get started because you're waiting for, well, I'm going to wait until I pay this off, or I'm going to wait until I make this much money to start, you're going to be waiting forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And you can't, like Tom said, compounding, right? It's the last double. And that's what we look at. The rule of 72, one of my favorite things. The market or your account will double every 10 years if you make 7.2%. So if you get a double every 10, if you start 20s versus starting in your 50s, that tells you right then the last doubles are the ones that get cut off the longer you wait. Yep. And a million becoming two is a pretty nice double.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So let's jump to the phones real quick. Terry.
Yeah, well, good morning, kids. How you doing?
We are great. How are you?
Well, I'm all nervous now. Tom was talking about mediocre investments, and wait a minute here. Well, you better know something about having good investments out there for me.
Oh, yeah. We look for the best investments we possibly can find. There you go. Yep. No mediocrity, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, Terry.
Not at all is what
especially
the
for you.
Motto was, so.
Yep. Yep.
But basically, I wanted to ask about all of this. When you were talking earlier about the week came out even,
mm-hmm.
is a lot of this the big companies, what do we call it?
Your blue chip?
They're rotating around. They're moving from one sector to another just to make it look like they're busy and generating fees and such, or is there actually somebody having an idea what they're doing with the investments now?
You know, that's a hard one, right? I don't know what moves, and no one really does if they try to claim they know what's going on in the inner workings of the market. I just think things get oversold, people buy again. And we're kind of in that position, right? Are we, like Dave says, at the peak of pessimism, right? Even though we're in this range where we keep going even, we're even for a month, we're even for weeks, we're all these times. Is it just that we buy because things go low and people are ready to get in, and then they sell. If they get a little nervous, we're going to trim profits. Who knows? It may happen again. It's really hard to know. But when I look at every single indice, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, or the three major ones, I shouldn't say everyone, but the three major ones, they're all flat. Those are different sectors. NASDAQ is extremely tech heavy. Dow's more value leaning. So when you look at every sector kind of just going flat, it almost just feels like we're maybe, like you say, peak of pessimism, and people are ready to start nibbling, but then other people are trimming. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. I think it's just like we always see in these times. No one knows, right? We don't know. You know, everybody wants to call the bottom. is this the bottom? You look at Yahoo Finance, right? Mm-hmm. Every day there's three or four articles, one saying, get ready, we're going to have another 20% pullback. And right after that, it looks like the S&P has bottomed, get ready for a big recovery. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show you that, quote unquote, experts have no idea. And they just need to be saying something. And at the end of the day, capitalism will figure it out and companies will figure it out. And when that happens, it'll work. But whether it's this week, next month, mm-hmm. next year,
yep.
we don't know.
Right.
But we just know that, hey, if we're going to this time say it's different and it's never going to work again, then you're fighting history of over 200 years of people trying to
time this. Yep.
Yeah, I have a very simple goal right now, just to live long enough to make you, for you to make me rich along with being good looking. So.
There you go.
Wow, that's
that's all on Tom, right?
Yeah. Hey, I y'all are doing what you do. I'll bother you whenever I need money.
Sounds good, Terry. Have a great weekend.
Same to you, kids. Thanks.
All right, take care. Good. Yeah, and he does bring up a point too. Everybody tries to do this. Everyone tries to say, well, why was the market flat? What's going on here? And I think the world is much more transparent than it's ever been. I feel very much that there's not a lot of deceptive things going on. I just think the market's working. I mean, mm-hmm. it does this. We have times of correction, even though we don't like them. And I've realized now, and I've not been doing this all that long, but since 1994, how many of these times we've had mm-hmm. and how, guess what? Every one of them we've come out of.
And how many times have you felt the same, mm-hmm. right? You just go, man, I can't believe why, or last year, why is it going up more?
Right.
Why? How could it be going up again? Right. Mm-hmm. There's no, and that's the thing is that it's bigger than our for us to figure out.
Right.
Because
right.
we can't. And that's what Warren Buffett and all these other guys are saying. Don't waste your time trying to do that. He doesn't even watch the market day to day.
No.
At least he says he doesn't.
Right. Exactly. And it's funny because one of his he says, you never attempt, this is a Warren Buffett quote that I actually just jotted down the other day. It says, never attempt to make money on the stock market. I buy on the assumption that it could close and not reopen for 5 years, and I still want to own what I own. Paraphrasing a little bit. Mm-hmm. But basically what he's saying is, whatever I buy it with a plan. I don't look at day to day and say, should I sell it? Should I buy it? Should I sell it? That's not what it's about.
Right. And I think you've brought up lately really good points on when we build portfolios in our, specifically for different goals and so forth, we just don't make them for good times, right? In fact, we think about the bad times mm-hmm. more than the good times to get through these times, because this is where you make your money, mm-hmm. is in the bad times. This is by not doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, that this is when we make our money. And if we are sitting here trying to mull over what do we do now because the market's down, well, that's the worst time to be making that decision or even trying to make those decisions.
Right. And you should have a plan for that. If you're taking out income and the market's down, you shouldn't sit around and go, oh, my gosh, the market did exactly what it always does. It had a correction. And I had no idea that was coming.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that these times will happen, even though you don't want to live through them. People get nervous. But every single time this happens, you should have some money set aside if you're an income person or you have expenses coming up that you can use. And let the market recover.
Or if you're building money, you're saving and you see this happen, you should be like, this is the greatest thing ever. Mm-hmm. I wish I had more money to invest right now.
Right. It's funny when great corporations get cut in half or they get things go wrong. You're like, if I could only buy Amazon at this price, or if I could only buy Apple at this price. And then when it gets to that price or lower, you're like, oh, I don't want to buy it.
Oh, yeah. I worked at Micron for a number of years, and Micron stock is notoriously volatile. And it would go up to $100 and go be down to $8. And every time it's up to like, I don't know, $70, $80, people would go, next time it gets down to like 10, I'm mortgaging the house. I'm going to buy as much. And then you get down there and you see those people and they go, oh, this could go down a lot more. I certainly am not going to buy now. Mm-hmm. And they just do it over and over and over and say the same thing over and over and over. And they're still working.
Yep. And they try to time it on both sides, right? They right. time it that, oh, it's going to go higher. Why would I sell? And then it's going to go lower. Why would I buy?
Right.
And it never works either way. So
exactly.
Make a plan, diversify your portfolio. And that goes back to what Tom was saying, too. When the portfolios are designed, you should have multiple different things to make the picture, right? There's a reason we own different things. And if you don't own a lot and you sit back and you think, oh, interest rates are high, we have high inflation. Oh, well, we should throw out this whole portfolio. Well, yeah. That's not the way it works. We right. all see this. It's all priced in, a lot of it. So we do plan for these events.
Yeah. And I think over and over and over, that's people say it well, and want to do something, because it's human nature to want to do something, mm-hmm. to make a reaction, to you know, like Dave always says, if the house is on fire, you want to run away, right? You don't want to run to the fire. And in investing, you have to think about that there's always potentially going to be a fire at some point. We just don't know what started the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this is another question we always like to ask, because risk tolerance is one of those things that you feel really risk adverse when the market's down, and you feel like you can take on all the risk in the world when the market's up. So that's not really risk profile. That's more or less emotion driven. So one of the questions we ask people that come in to meet with us is, what did you do and how did you feel in 2008 through COVID during this recent time? First question is, what did you do? The second question is, how did you feel, right? So if you didn't react and you still felt bad, that's okay, because everybody feels like, ooh, I don't like this. That's an okay feeling to have, but did you react to it?
Right. And did you react by taking advantage, or did you sell out and want to? Because the worst thing that can happen, we have a client that did this, and it's been hard for him to go through these times, but in 2008, he sold. And he sold and he went to cash, and the market went down right after that. Well, that's the worst thing that ever happened to him. Mm-hmm. Because now he has a history. He has a feeling of, when I feel like this, I sell, and it worked. So next time, that's just what I'm going to do. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to make the wrong decision and then feel and then be rewarded for it.
Right. But then on the flip side, when did he get back in, and how much did he lose
right,
by staying
exactly.
out?
Exactly. And they'll never say that.
Nope.
Right. They'll never go, oh, by the way, I calculated, I lost $1 million.
Right.
You just said, I didn't lose for a month.
Right. And right. That's such a hard feeling too, right? If you get it right once, you have to get it right twice. You have to sell right and buy right, and you can't get them both. There's
right.
no way.
And I know a lot of people that haven't got in for years. They're still sitting in cash because mm-hmm. they psychologically can't bring themselves to do it.
Right. I mean, clear back to 08. I mean, mm-hmm. we've seen people sitting in cash since then.
Yeah. We have a client that came in COVID, and he knew he had to do something because he was going to run out of money. And he had to do something. And he was in tears when he said, okay, I'm ready for you to do it, but I'm scared to death.
Yeah. Yep. But he did it.
Mm-hmm. Right at the bottom.
Wow. Wow. Now that won't happen again either.
Yeah, exactly. Don't plan on that.
Yeah.
One.
All right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to share a couple other tips with you, as well as the final housekeeping items. But give us a call, 580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning. Wow. It's gone fast, hasn't it?
Yeah, always does.
It does. Yep. Thanks for joining me. It's been fun.
Yep. Always.
Yeah. And thanks to Erin and the Children's Museum for letting her come out and spend some time with us today.
And thanks for Dave for
going on vacation.
Leaving town.
We need to get him to do that more often, right? Yep. All right. All right. So really, this is the time, I think, to sit down, talk to your significant other, your family, whoever it is, and really focus on getting your finances clean and in good order. I know it's something that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but it's so super important. Even things as simple as life insurance. Do you need it? Do you not?
Right.
Pensions. Are you ready to retire? Because we've had a lot of people, and it's true, a lot of people at younger ages wanting to retire right now
mm-hmm.
than I've ever seen.
Right.
And what do you retire to with life expectancy so long?
Right. And more people willing to take a haircut, you know, by taking the pension early to get less mm-hmm. or taking Social Security early and not really thinking it through that, hey, what is this going to be like when I'm in my 70s and 80s?
Yeah.
And am I really just taking a little bit of a break early? And then I'm going to pay for it later.
Yeah. And you don't want to have to go back to work. So a financial advisor should really tell you pros and cons of the situation that you're in and lay it out and say, you know what, I think you're able to retire early if you do this, or you really shouldn't because of this. And the thing that's so uncertain is health insurance. What is it going to cost?
Right.
Inflation.
Exactly. And so that's the biggest thing. We have biggest consideration if someone wants to retire when they're like in their 50s or early 60s is, what are you going to do about health insurance?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just say, well, I'm pretty healthy, I'm just not going to have health insurance. That is a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. I actually met with a client last week, and they made the comment because one was able to retire earlier than the other. And he said that he was a little frustrated by it because there's so much free time for her right now that she doesn't have a lot of things to occupy herself. So she's very young, and that's part of it, right? you need to retire to something, mm-hmm. because it's not a lot of fun to sit around and stare at each other. If you enjoy your job, you can keep working. There's so much with that, because there was another time too that if you enjoy what you're doing, just because you get to a certain age doesn't mean you have to retire.
I have a client that's 72 and he wants to continue working as much as he can because he enjoys what he does. That mm-hmm. he gets him up in the morning, he rides his bike to work and he loves it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I have no idea why I'd want to stop this.
Mm-hmm. So figure that out too. Mm-hmm. Figure out what you're retiring to. It's a super important question. So as you're going through your financial mm-hmm. outlook, that's part of a plan, right? It's not just where's my will, where's my this, where's my that. It's more than that too. That's a main part of it. But also start writing down goals in retirement. Mm-hmm. What does your retirement look like? I have clients that I tell them, go into two separate rooms now that you're really thinking about it. You write down your top objectives and you write down yours and then come together and see if they match. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times when you sit and talk, they all come together. You all come to the same conclusion of what you'd like to do. But it's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah.
One of them came in and he's like, I need to pay my car insurance. I need to make sure I have money for utilities. He was so very practical. Mm-hmm. And she's, I want to travel to the coast. I want to see my grandkids. So yeah. It was really funny when they looked at each other and said, I had no idea you were so worried about how we were going to get by versus enjoy.
Yeah, they used to have the game show Newlywed Game, and that was similar to it. You could have the opposite and have the retirement game. I don't think anybody would watch it, but
we would. But yeah, seriously, take the time this spring, as it's nice. I mean, with all these rainy weekends that we have, there's not a lot that you can do outdoors. Sit down, go through your investments, make that love letter that tells where everything is. Mm-hmm. Figure out what your retirement goals look like. Right. Just take the time to put it all together.
I tell people I have a financial bucket list for every year. And these are the things we're going to get done this year. And mm-hmm. just check them off. You'll feel so much better that you accomplish something. Doesn't have to be major things, but sometimes they are.
Yeah, and get that will in order. Power of attorney, medical power of attorney. Mm-hmm. As your kids get older, don't forget this. Once they're 18, they're adults. Mm-hmm. You need to have that medical power of attorney on hand if something happens so you can make decisions for them. Right. So make sure you get that as well.
And let the kids know where things are so they're not searching where your finance, you know, have a copy of the will. Have those things. Let them know where, if there are stock certificates and you want to keep them. Where they're at, how to find the key to the safe deposit box. All those kind of things make things so much easier. And your spouse. Mm-hmm. Maybe you take care of all the stuff and your spouse doesn't do anything. Well, right. They need to know where the stuff is and who to talk to.
Yep. And if you have questions when we're not on air, feel free to shoot us over emails. You can do it at petsofinancial.com. You can send it to me at jstone@petsofinancial.net. And they're different. Our website's.com, our emails are .net. But we'd be happy to talk with you when we're not on the air as well. And again, thank you for joining us.